everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie, I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening live, it is the 8th of July at about 11 a.m. Pacific time. If you're listening to an archive or a replay, I also want to welcome you to the show. Oh, I want to let you know we're over in the chat room, and you can find that by heading over to 12radio.com. Just click on the chat button, and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. You'll see my banner at the top of the page, and you'll see other people chatting there. You'll also see a link because I'm live streaming as well. And if you'd rather watch than listen, you can do that by, I mean, you'll still be listening, but you can do that by heading over to YouTube or Facebook and just look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic. Easy enough. I want to say hello to the chatters. Hey to Lillian, Tara, Suzanne, Renee, JR, Sid, and the rest of you in the other chat. Just want to welcome you all to the show. I'm glad you're here, Shireen. Oh, how's it going, you guys? Like, how's it going? We've had another pretty rough week, rough weekend here in the U.S. I'm sure all eyes are on Texas and North Carolina, well, and Las Vegas. Whew. And I'm sure there's more I've missed, but times are pretty tough in a lot of ways. Pardon me. And I know that some of you guys are really feeling that. So, and of course, our hearts are with Texas. I joined an artist, glass artist collective that we're making and sending glass hearts to Texas to be passed out to survivors, first responders and the like. So that's kind of nice. It gives me something to do. Yes, a rough emotional week indeed. I can't even look at the pictures of those little girls without shedding more tears. There are no words for the sadness and the fury that I feel for these families. None. We did go camping for the weekend. We always camp over the 4th because, you know, the dogs just aren't big fans of fireworks. And frankly, neither am I. And so we usually try and get as far enough out of town as we can so that we don't even hear those fireworks. And man, did we do it this time. My brother-in-law took us out to his uncle's ranch. And there's like really old buildings here that were like a little cabin, I think, that was probably from the early 1900s. So there's not a home there. There's just a prairie, just a lot of prairie and a stream and absolute peace. The entire sky was just bright and gorgeous, not an ounce of artificial light in sight. Amazing. We didn't hear a single firework while we were there, which was cool. But also, because that's a farm road that not very many people travel on, I think we only saw a total of maybe 6 vehicles go past that road the entire time we were there. So, amazing. But I did take some pictures. Kara had joked that she feels like we were on the banks of Plum Creek. And indeed, because we were on quite the prairie. But here's a few pictures of the stream or the creek, however you want to say that. We were standing on this bridge and it scared up all of these little swallows that are, I knew them as mud daubers, but there are all these little birds that live up underneath this bridge. So I wanted to show you what it looked like with them kind of up around us. But this is a semi-panorama of the area we were in. We can see the mountains off in the distance, but we were in the flatlands. That's the little ranch. And those are our campers. It was beautiful and it was cool. It wasn't very hot. In fact, I spent a good part of the weekend in a jacket. It was warmer Saturday afternoon and we actually put an awning in the creek and sat with our feet in it and the dogs played. There's a little bit more with sound. I wanted you to be able to hear them. Yeah. And then one picture of Nellie playing in the creek. No, it's not too deep, JR. There was quite a few fish in it, though. Scott was disappointed he didn't think to throw in a fishing pole because there were fish. Plenty of them. But the dogs had a blast playing in the water. It was just peaceful and nice. Cracked me up because by like 9:30, 10 o'clock every night, we were all just done in bed. I can remember once upon a time camping was like you'd stay up super late. We would party. We would sit around the campfire. Now, we didn't have a campfire because it's July in Idaho, and that's not very responsible. So no fire this time. Also, it's too warm to really want one. Really, this weekend we would have wanted one. It wasn't too warm, but normally for the 4th of July, you know, it can be horrifically hot. But no, anyway, we had a really super, super nice weekend, so that was awesome. I had heard, Justin said, my brother-in-law said that when he was a kid, he did get leeches in that creek. It was the first and only time he's ever had a leech, he said. We didn't see any, luckily, none on the dogs or anything. Sid also said that Plum Creek, on the banks of Plum Creek, is my favorite besides Big Woods and so many other adventures around the creek, right? And of course, if you don't know, I'm talking about the Laura Ingalls Wilder series, Little House on the Prairie. So, I don't know if you guys read those books. When I was a kid, my mom read every single one of them to us. And then when I was a little bit older, I read them all to myself. But that's exactly where I felt like we were. And then I had to laugh because we even had Nellie here with us. I know. At any rate, I hope that you guys all had a good weekend and that you are in general doing well. I just received a notification that some glaze I ordered has come and I'm super, super excited about it. I'm still tarrying on trying to get turn into a better potter. And I'm thinking I'm doing a little bit better. So I have some glaze that just came for a project I want to do, and I can't wait to do it. So I actually made two of the pieces. I hand built two pieces this morning, but there'll be a few more than that. But anyway, I'm just excited. That's all. Alrighty. Well, let's get into Luminous this week. I was thinking about peace, that it's always a good reminder to consider what brings you peace and what doesn't, what could be interrupting your peace or getting in the way of peace for you, and reiterating for yourself where your peace is. The world is not going to bring you peace. The world will bring you chaos. The world is probably bringing you a fair amount of chaos right now. So sometimes you have to think about, am I happy with the exposure that I have currently to the world? Am I happy with what I'm hearing, what I'm doing? Am I balanced in those things? And for some of you, that's the way of the world. For some of you, that's people that you live with or around, or it's your job, or your coworkers, or other things, family, friends. There's lots of things that will sneak in and snatch away your peace if you let it. And we all go through various stages in our lives of really valiantly, aggressively protecting our peace, and periods where we really just let it go, right? I know, we've all been on all sides of that. However, I thought it would be a good reminder today and talking about a few rituals and things that you can do for yourself to protect your own peace. Because if there's one thing I know about the world, it's that crazy makers are everywhere. And if you let them, they will steal as much of your peace as they can. So we're going to work on it. So obviously, I called this edition the Protect Your Peace edition for that reason. I think that when we do not feel peaceful, and again, you can't always, there's only so much you can ever do about that. I wish that was different, but it's just true, right? The world is what it is, and you'll have times where you just kind of have to put up with what you've got going on and move forward. I get that. But at the same time, evaluating where you are, I think helps you to just protect yourself a little bit better. So I wrote an article about rituals, spells, and practices to help keep your energy safe. I feel like these are some things that we can actually do and focus on to feel better, more like yourself. So the first is clearing your space. We talked about this last week, as well in what we were working on last week, but just considering doing some kind of clearing for your space. I mean, a smoke clearing, a sage clearing, a lot of people do that. Palo Santo, lavender, dragon's blood incense, cedar are all things, basil, that people like to use for clearing. So, of course, you're going to let that herb or resin smolder because you want the smoke. You'll walk through each room in your home, wafting that smoke around. And don't forget things like closets, nooks and crannies, under the bed, in the utility cupboard, things like that. You want to clear those spaces. You want to focus your intention on clearing out any stagnant energy and inviting fresh, positive energy into the space. Most people have a pretty good sense of when their space needs cleared. And maybe it takes a little reflection because sometimes you're just not sure what the hell your problem is. But in general, when my kids all lived at home, I would know my space needed cleared by my kids fighting a lot and feeling like, what the hell's going on around here? Then I would clear our space and things would calm down dramatically. So, I mean, there's certainly that school of thought, but there's more than that too. There's also just feeling chaotic, feeling like you can't settle down. If you feel like in your home you're unable to just relax, it may be time to clear your space. If you feel like in your home you don't feel safe, it might be time to clear your space and other things. If you feel like you just can't quite allow yourself to rest, and if sleep is tough, if you're having weird dreams, if sleep's coming hard, that's also a good indication that it's a good time to clear space. Hey, Sherry, good to see you. Then, of course, there's sound cleansing, and we talked about this last week as well. But a singing bowl, a bell, or chimes are great to help raise the energy in your space. I personally, when I do a space clearing, I do both. I start with smoke, and then I finish up with sound. I think both tend to work a little bit differently in the area, in the space, and they both bring their own value. Good point, JR. She said, also, it might be time to kick some people out of your house. There's always that. Well, hopefully, not always that, but yes. Creating a protection barrier. Once you've cleared your space, you can create some kind of a protection barrier. This works especially well for people who live in apartment buildings or townhomes, places where your neighbors are really close, or even, like shared walls. It also for office spaces that feel the same way. So, salt. This is super simple. You can sprinkle a little salt in the corners of your home. You can also do this on the outside. You can go to the four corners of your property or just to the four corners of the outside of your space. Yes, it will melt away, blow away the elements will take it away, but the energy is still there, the intention is still there, and you can renew that anytime you choose. Or you can do that within the confines of a space that you're in. A little bit of salt, and if you have pets, a little bit of salt, because we're not trying to be out here making anybody sick. Can you salt wrong? No. You can also salt your windowsills if you want to. You can put little bowls of salt in the corners of your living room or your entrances if you want to. Again, keeping your pets safe from that. You can even put a small sachet of salt with you for personal protection if you want to. If you would rather, you can use selenite. Selenite is ancient salt, so if you would prefer to just put selenite towers, you can do that. And I think that works really well also. But salt's an easy way to just create a little bit of protection, bless it, tell it what you want it to do. And what you want it to do likely is to just preserve the peace in your space, right? To filter out energy that is coming into your space that maybe you don't want there, that's not comfortable, that's not bringing you peace. Crystal protection. And you can really do crystal protection with salt, like if you're going to do a grid around your home. So you can put your crystals around the perimeter of your home or your room. You can put them around doors or windows. A piece of black tourmaline near your front door helps to send off negative energy. You can put selenite, of course, as we discussed, to encourage pure cleansing energy to flow in. Oh, Suzanne put some on her windowsills. Yeah, selenite's great. You can also put crystals in the four corners of your home or the four corners of your property. You can do that along with salt if you'd like to just double down on the work. But again, you need to hold some intention, so you got to tell those crystals what you want them to do. Maybe you're forming a grid around your space of protection to protect your peace, to protect your happiness. You decide. How about enchanting your home? Enchanted spaces are where energy flows freely, but can be safe from external influences. So, you could use candle magic. We've done a lot of candle magic on the show over the years. But to do that, you want a white or black candle. White is for purity, black is for protection. You want to carve a protective symbol or your initials into the candle. You could do a pentagram, a rune, a sigil, something you invented, a word, your name, the name of your home, whatever you decide on into your candle. And then, of course, when you light the candle, you want to focus on the intention of protecting your space and removing or banishing any negative influences or unnecessary influences. You can visualize a protective shield forming around your home or your room as the candle burns. Then, of course, you want to let that candle burn down safely, just focusing on what it's offering. Sid wanted to know what's the best way to have selenite outside and not get messed up by humidity or rain. It probably will over time. I mean, this is ancient salt that has crystallized, and so it's not going to just immediately go to hell, but the finish might be damaged by having it outside. So it just might. That doesn't affect the quality of the work that the crystal brings. Like, it doesn't affect the energy of the crystal in any way. But yeah, you might mess it up over time, or you might mess up the finish. It's very possible. Okay, the protection shield spell. So you can do this in, again, your home. You could do it in your office. You could do it anywhere else you go where you feel like you need a little extra safety and protection. So you're going to stand at the center of your space. Close your eyes and take a few deep breaths to get centered. Then you can visualize a white light just surrounding that entire space. You can watch that expand, creating an energetic shield that keeps negativity out and allows positivity to flow freely. And you can visualize that light coming from within you, like from your heart. Or you can just imagine that coming down from above you. As you visualize the protective light, you're going to say or think, "By the light of the sun, moon, and stars, I call forth a shield to protect my space. No harm may enter, no negativity stay. Only love and peace will fill this place." And you can repeat that a few times if you choose to. And then once you can feel that energy around you and trust that your space is protected, you can just shake that off and move forward. But that's a really easy way to just give your space a little bit more protection. And then obviously working with protective spirits and guides. And sometimes you might not feel like your own work is enough. Or you just really want that extra something, right? So lots of things you can do here. Obviously you can call in your guides, your angels, but you can also call in any deities. Examples, of course, Brigid is a goddess of protection in the Celtic tradition. You've got Archangel Michael in New Age and Christian circles, and any other deity that you choose to call on. A lot of people call Archangel Uriel for safety and protection as well, and many others, right? So that's very personal to you, whoever you choose to work with. So light a candle that you've dedicated to that deity, meaning you could carve their name into that candle. You could just hold that candle to your heart and bless it with the intention that it's dedicated to that deity. Then say a prayer or an affirmation asking for their protection over your home. And then just spend a few minutes in quiet meditation. Just let yourself feel that protective presence. Let yourself just be wrapped up in that light. That's a really easy way to just indicate that you need some help. One thing that I think we never fully learned, I think probably in the New Age world, but also in the world in general, in life, is that if you want help, you need to ask for it. Whether that's from a human person or it's from asking for help from like a guide or an angel, if you need help, you have to ask for it. So ask for it. And so doing little ceremonies, little rituals like that are a great way to do that. You don't have to do that to get help, right? You can just ask, but people feel good doing some kind of a ritual to really honor that help and bring that help in. All right, you can create a spirit protector. It could be an ancestor or an animal spirit or another entity you're comfortable with calling in. You may have an ancestor that you know was a straight badass and you want to ask for their help. Or maybe, again, it's some kind of a deity that you feel really connected to or an animal that you feel like is a part of your spirit protection. That could be whatever you are comfortable with, but create a little altar or dedicated space where you can call on their energy. You might offer them gifts or flowers or food and ask for their continued protection or guidance. You might have a little picture or an effigy of them or a crystal that reminds you of them or whatever you choose to do, but have a little spot that's specific to them with your requests for help and for safety and protection over you, yourself, your home, your workplace, your community. And then, of course, there's daily practices. This doesn't have to be a one-off. It shouldn't be, really. But easy things Daily affirmations. Something like, my space is sacred, safe, and protected. Only love and positivity may enter. My space is safe, sacred, and protected. Only love and positivity may enter. And of course, smudging and clearing. You can burn a little bit of incense, even or a little bit of sage or Palo Santo every day if you want to. You don't have to do a full clearing, but you could. You could certainly just have your favorite incense on hand, and as you light that, hold that intention that it's helping to clear away anything that's unnecessary in your space. That's really the point, right? Just removing energy that's unnecessary. Maybe you've been sick and you want to get rid of that convalescing energy. Maybe you've been grieving. Maybe you're just pissed off right now and pissed off too much and you want to clear that energy out. Or again, maybe it's other people that are affecting your peace. Like JR said, kick them out. No. I'm kidding. That's not always That's not always possible. I know. I'm kidding. Kind of, mostly. Grounding techniques. You want to take time to ground yourself daily. It's really important to focus a little bit on your root chakra every day, because if you don't, you end up flying high. And what I mean by that, not the good kind, I mean ending up with way too much energy in your crown, where you feel like you can't focus, you feel like you can't quite get your feet underneath you, you feel like you are unable to slow down your thoughts, you might be feeling extra anxiety and racing thoughts. Those are things that a crown chakra that's blown out will do. And the way to combat that is to stay grounded. So spend a little time outside. Walking barefoot on the earth is really good for this. You can meditate. You can just walk outside and put your arms around a tree for a minute. You can just do some mindful breathing and envision yourself sending those tree roots from your feet deep, deep, deep down into the earth. Lots of ways to ground yourself. So you work on the ways that are perfect for you. But it's important to do a little daily grounding. That root chakra connection is so important. And I'll tell you something, a lot of people have a fragile root from their childhood. If you lived in an addicted home, if you lived in a chaotic home, if you lived in a home with parents that had mental illness or other kinds of struggles, if you lived in a home where you were always moving, or a home that had a lot of financial chaos, and of course, if you lived in a home that had any kind of abuse, you likely have a fairly fragile root chakra. And if your root chakra is fragile, that's really going to affect the way you are able to stay grounded. And so it may mean for you that you need some daily work. But I'll tell you, in the current chaos of our world, I think we all need daily root work. It's just the nature of things currently. So, just remembering that your space is sacred and it deserves to be treated with respect and care. You deserve to be respected and cared for. And you're the guy that has to do that. So, it bears well to you, you know, it will serve you well to take a good look at your space and what kind of work it needs so that you can feel the best. It is worth it to protect your peace. The world's going to bring you chaos. Hell, you'll get a good dose of chaos just going to the grocery store or to Walmart, right? So creating sacred spaces or places where you are determined to protect your peace is extremely important. Okay, nothing new from Kelly this week because, you know, it was a holiday last week. All right, freezing spell. This is a spell that I've taught you guys in the past, but I think it bears remembering sometimes. This is really easy work to do if you want to remove somebody from your space out of your life or just out of your business. Like, I've had clients before that have done this with ex-husbands or mother-in-laws or co-workers or neighbors, people that are just too much, that are invading your space and your boundaries and your privacy. And sometimes it's more than that, right? Sometimes it could be somebody who truly means you poorly. Or maybe it's just an ex that you just need to just remove completely from you so that there's no more contact or thoughts about them anymore. So, freezing spell. And this is to take the heat out of a situation or just someone out of your situation. Either take a picture of them or their name and write it on a piece of paper. You're going to put that in a baggie, just a plastic freezer bag, like a sandwich bag. Put a bit of water in it, and then just stick the whole thing in the back of the freezer. You don't even have to keep it where you can see it, it doesn't matter. You're just going to stick it in the back of the freezer and just let the freezing happen. Now, if you want to have a ritual saying, you can say or think or write on the bag, I freeze your influence and energy over me and my life. We're just freezing them out. And you'd be surprised how well this one works. If you ever try it, let me know. But I've heard from a lot of people that have done a freezing spell for whatever reason that it had really good results. So someday you'll see that at the back of the freezer and maybe you don't need it anymore and you'll throw it away. Or maybe you'll go, yeah, it's time to renew this, and you'll do it again. That's up to you. Listen to me. Protecting yourself, protecting your peace, protecting your life, that's not being a bitch. It's not. As empaths, and I think also just as women, we get taught that and labeled with this idea that we have to be nice to everybody all the time. That is nonsense. No, you don't. Kindness goes a long way for sure. And general kindness, yeah, be kind. But does that mean you have to put up with bullshit? No. Does that mean you have to put up with abuse? Absolutely not. It doesn't. You have every right and reason to protect yourself and your peace and your happiness and your family. That doesn't mean you're being a jerk. I hear this from empaths a lot that go, but that's not nice. Well, maybe it's not to someone, but is it nice to you? Don't ever feel bad about protecting yourself. Yes, all Walmarts need healing, right? What is it with Walmart? My gosh. JR said salt the entire perimeter, right? See, it's a real conundrum because you have to go into Walmart and buy the salt, then you have to go back outside, and then you have to walk all the way around the building. If I had to work at a place like Walmart, I probably would do some kind of daily, at least energetic, clearing and blessing of the building. Just out of self-defense, hoping that the customers and the employees would be okay that day, because that's rough. I worked at Kmart when I was in high school and in college, and oh man, that was a tough gig. People are wild. Thank you, Laurie. I am feeling good today. Okay. Christy's energy exercise is the clear your bubble. Very apt for what we're talking about. This is a really easy energetic exercise to just clear your aura, clear out anything that you don't want there. It's a good practice to have in your back pocket for times like, imagine times when you have some kind of an emotional exchange with somebody that you can't shake, like a road rage incident or something you witnessed, maybe other people having some kind of a fight or an incident that sticks with you, or somebody, how you have an incident with somebody at work that talks to you in a really aggressive or negative way, or the list goes on and on. But You know what I'm talking about. When you've had some kind of a, I'm going to say altercation, but I think that's probably not the fairest word. But you know, when you've had some kind of an exchange with somebody that you don't feel good about, that you do feel uncomfortable with, that you feel like you're not happy with how this went. And you can't quite shake it. It's just stuck on you. You can't quit thinking about it. You just feel like shit about it. This is a great exercise to help to release that so that you can move on, let it go. Lots of crime over at True Crime Squad, always. You probably saw that Brian Koberger did go ahead and plead guilty, so that is over besides the sentencing. Which truly surprised the hell out of me, but I'm glad. I'm super glad. Lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation. I did throw two full moon meditations here for you because the full moon is in 2 days. So we're almost there. That's either, depending on who's labeling it, it's the strawberry moon or the stag moon, but it's a moon where the moon is a little bit lower and closer. So it's a moon that seems very big and that has more color to it than other moons do just because of the nature of it. The first full moon after the solstice. So I'm excited for that moon. I hope we're clear. We've been quite overcast lately. In fact, on the 4th, we were headed camping, but like here in my town, sounds like we had some pretty good rain during the parade and stuff. Wild. I did marching band. And so I marched in parades from 7th grade all the way through my senior year. And I've marched in rain lots of times. And that's hard. But it's better than marching in horrible heat. So probably okay. But I have done many a parade route, I'll tell you that. So many that I never care if I go to a parade again. Do you guys go to the parade? I'm curious. You probably most of you have parades in your communities. I know you're not all here in the US though, but do you go? Do you care? Is it important to you? There's a wild thing that happens where I live. People here are still just so very I want to say trusting, but the word that comes in is also entitled to do whatever they want. But people here the night before, the whole day before the parade, they go to public sidewalks and just start laying out all their stuff. Their chairs and blankets. And you'll even see people that have like roped off areas. Like they put 4 chairs out and put rope or tape or something around it so that you can see exactly where your family spot is. It causes a lot of discord because, you know, just then regular people show up to the parade at the time the parade starts, or maybe an hour ahead, and everything is roped off and sectioned off into these people's, you know, spaces. And then they're angry if anybody else comes anywhere near their space. And I don't know. It doesn't feel like community unity to me. I will say that every year, some people get their stuff stolen or vandalized, and then they come into community groups and blast away about how pissed off and disappointed they are in people. And I always think, bitch, I'm disappointed in you that you thought that was okay to do in the first place. But what do I know? Sherry said she quit going to parades once, a Louisiana happened, not a crowd fan. Yeah, I same. It's pretty much too much walking for me. It's too much heat for me. And also, I have found that I just don't give a damn. So, it's not a place for me. Oh, Quelly said they put chairs out the night before parades in Venice where she lives and no one touches them. Wow. Well, this time they got rained on really super bad. I wondered how people felt when they got to the parade because it rained all night the night before that all their stuff had to be soaking. I saw people that had laid out entire quilts And I was watching, driving down the road the night before, just watching their quilts getting drenched in the rain. I don't think anyone thought that was going to happen. Yeah, Lillian, you and Quelly aren't that far apart, are you? JR said she doesn't want to attend any more parades out of caution. Yeah, I hear that too. Fights break out. I mean, there's been some pretty serious violence at some parades here in the US the last few years as well. Right, that's what they get for trying for dibs, I guess. Oh, JR said I've always wanted to go to the New York City New Year's Eve parade. Yeah, now that would be super cool. Suzanne said, too much energy from others for me. Amen. Tara said, I came in late to the Canada Day parade this year, but found my family and got in fine. It was a long walk, which made me, yeah. That's part of it. Usually you have to park a long ways away. Now, years ago, when my kids were in band, of course we went to the parade because they were in it. When Mars was a cheerleader, we went to the parade because she was in it. Yeah. Sherry said she'll still go to the fair. Right, the people watching at the fair, like the state fair or the county fair. Oh my gosh. Our state fair is the biggest redneck event in history. Maybe not, but oh my gosh. Yeah, the people watching. I go to the fair for two things, and it's rare that we go. I usually don't feel like I can walk it, but if we go, it's obviously for the food because fair food, my God. And it's for the animals. I love to walk through all the animal barns and see all the horses and all the different kinds of chickens and talk to the donkeys and all of that kind of stuff. Love. Also love to walk through all the like the homemakers buildings where the artists and the sewers and the hand stitchers and all of that kind of stuff. Do love things like that. I mean, I guess I could put a piece in the fair if used glass. I probably won't. You could, though. Fairs are good. Fairs are a good way. They're good for the community. Yeah. You have roller coasters. Yeah, I don't know if we have roller coasters. They always, have the traveling carnival rides thing. There is nothing about that interests me in any way, but. But I do like to go see what the people are doing, and most especially the animals, of course, obviously. Okay. Well, that is it for Luminous. So hopefully you guys found some gems in there. JR, you had asked for some healing work. Let me get back to that. Oh, Sherry said she rang her bowl at work this morning when she got in. She said it rattled a little and pushed the energy out. Good. JR said, can I get an energy reading for my legs and feet? I'm still having difficulty walking. Absolutely, my friend. Let's get on that. All right. I'm just helping to strengthen your ground. Clearing out some old hesitation, especially in your right foot. And just going through a muscle memory process, asking your cellular memory to remember what it felt like to walk easily. So, I'm going to assume that when you were about 18, you were walking just fine. So, I'm asking your cellular memory to remember walking as if you were 18. Sometimes that reference point is really helpful in energetic healing work to remind your body what it felt like to be doing this thing correctly when you were. Okay. All right, JR. That is done. Oh, good. Yeah, she said at 18 she did great. Awesome. Sometimes that's all it takes, is just getting that reference point in place as far as energetic healing work is concerned, of course. But I'm going to hold space with you in just really holding space that you're going to just continue to progress here. Sid said, I loved fairs for the thrill rides, but the best ride ever at a fair was riding on an elephant. I guess some argue it's cruel, but it allows them to stay out of zoos and live at a sanctuary. Interesting. I read an ele rode an elephant as well when I was like 2 years old, so obviously I don't remember. But there's a picture floating around of Christy and I riding an elephant at Hogle Zoo. That's the big zoo in Salt Lake City. When we were really little kids. Lillian said, do I have any cords that need to be unattached? Yes, I think I do know exactly who you mean. Okay. He who must not be named? I get it. yeah, one at your throat. He is still reaching out. Like he knows how messed up he is and how messed up his life is, and he keeps reaching out for a little bit more of your light. But you just don't have anything left to offer him. And frankly, at his age, he's got to solve his own problems. Okay, so just pulled that cord. I'm just creating a really good barrier here. Good. All right. And I'm just turning his attention away from you as well and just asking his guidance to put his attention elsewhere because you're not feeling it. Okay. Awesome. So that is done. Tara said, my husband and I used to attend and volunteer at the Oregon County Fair. It is magical fun. I've thought it would be fun. I've thought about having a booth like at our local fair, but I just never feel like I have enough product together to do a multi-day event. I don't know if I have enough physical energy for it either. I think I probably don't. I have to find and show we have to find and show you what? Sherry. Oh, that picture. Wow. Okay. I'll see if I can find it. You guys would die to see Christy when she was little. She had white blonde hair. I've always been dark, always, but she had white blonde hair when she was a baby, when she was clear until she was like five. Yes, the elephant pic. I don't know why that left my mind for a minute. I'll see if I can find it. Maybe Christy has a copy of it. I mean, I know I have it somewhere, but oh. Suzanne needs some energy work for her 5-year-old fur baby Fiona. Her weight is up since steroids a few years ago for IBD, and she seems to be having a leg issue. Oh, yeah, let's take a look at Miss Fiona. She's dense, isn't she? And I don't mean that. I meant physically, not intellectually. No offense to you, Miss Fiona. But I see what you're saying. She's dense. Yeah, I can feel that inflammation. In her leg, poor thing. She's not in a terrible amount of pain or anything like that, but I definitely can see where it's bothering her. Yeah, I'm glad you're getting her checked out. So I'm just going to do some healing light around that, some cooling light to help see if we can help with the heat, the inflammation. She's a happy girl, though. A really happy girl, and she trusts you. So, however you choose to work on this leg, she trusts that. What a little doll. Okay, that is done. The vendors and volunteers camp at the fair. That, see, I think that would be super fun. It would be hard, like with your dogs and stuff. That's always the first thing I think about. But what about my dogs? But yeah, I hear that though. It would be super fun. We used to go to a couple of softball tournaments in the summer for Mars, where most people camped, and it was a blast. They just had these huge, basically parking lots. It was just dry camping, you know. But we'd pull our campers, and so you're kind of camped all around other families, probably some of the families from your own team and other teams. And people were just wandering around, visiting and talking and sharing. And we used to have a blast doing that. I could see how this would be similar. Tara said, "Can you tune into my cat Raven? He isn't feeling well right now. Could be depression from our other cat passing, but it could be more." Yeah, Tara, let's take a peek at Raven. He is quite distressed over the passing of your other cat. Okay. Did a little clearing for him. I let him know that you're very aware that he's grieving. His stomach feels off to me, and I'm just trying to decide if that's just, an emotional stomach, typical of cats, but I wanted to dig into that. I'm pretty nauseated when I feel his stomach, really. He's not sure. I'd keep an eye on that, on his belly. Poor guy, dang it. But I did let him know that and that you're feeling it too. So that you guys can just grieve together. Sid says, "Please ask Darcy why he doesn't drink water by himself. It's been a year now. He still ignores plain water in bowls. Was there trauma?" I don't see trauma, Sid. I just see a complete indifference to the water. Which I know goes against his instincts. I'm just asking him to please at least make an effort. One thing that's interesting with Darcy, and I know you've kind of already been through this with him, but he seems to not always be physically aware of what his physical needs are. Like, I wonder if he really even feels much in the sense of like heat and cold or pain, hunger, thirst. He seems to be kind of subdued in that area of thinking, or of feeling what your physical needs are. It's why you've been so good for him, because you know what his physical needs are and you make sure they get met. But I did ask him to make an effort to notice the water bowl and at least, drink a little water here and there, that you would feel better if he would do that. Yeah. Oh, Suzanne, Tara, you bet. Absolutely. Renee goes to parades. No, to fairs, but not parades. She said, "I've shown paintings there and I got a blue ribbon for one of them." I'll bet you did. You're a talented artist. I've seen your work. That's really cool. Good for you. I always think I should put a piece in, and then I'm like, I don't know. What's my hang up? I'm not sure. But it would be good. Well, guys, we're about out of here, but I did want to remind you that I am a professional psychic advisor over at onetolisten.com, and you can find me over there every day. You can find me doing readings and healings and a lot of animal communication, a lot of energy work at onetolisten as well. So if you need me and I'm not there, just do a callback request or do a scheduled call request. But if I'm signed in, it's a good time to call. So don't worry about you don't have to email me or ask me if it's a good time. If I'm signed in, it's a good time, but I'm happy to take your call and help you out. So I'll do anything I can to help you. All righty. Well, that's what I've got. I will be back next week, same place, same time. And otherwise, please have a good week. Take good care of yourselves. You're worth it. This has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show here on One Two Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.